Our loyal listeners have stayed on the line. They want to talk about Pickens. They want to talk about the quarterback situation, maybe a little Minka thrown in. As I mentioned, one of these years, I hope Minka makes a turnover-worthy play. He hasn't had an interception since two seasons ago. Hasn't forced a fumble since, 21 season? I think I've lost track. I want to mention very quickly, too, the passing of one of my early heroes, Louis Tiant, Cuban pitcher who pitched for the Red Sox in the World Series. One of my first memories in the mid-70s was watching Louis Tiant and the way he pitched. He would go into his windup and turn his back to the batter and then tip his head up in the air, city limits. While I'm talking here, you should do yourself a favor and say Louis Tiant, or type in Louis Tiant's motion. And you go watch his pitching motion.
I've seen it.
Unbelievably charismatic player, fun player to watch. And the 1975 World Series, I don't think I've ever seen a better World Series than that. Stars everywhere.
Is that the Carlton Fisk World Series?
Yes.
Keep it fair.
Drama everywhere. And Louis Tiant. So RIP to an early childhood hero of mine. Then, of course, we're going to talk about the quarterback situation and George Pickens, but I'm still reeling from a little line Tomlin dropped in the news conference regarding players that I've never heard of. Can we go to that for a moment? Limits.
Man, it's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just got here.
Ade and Eko, is that a television show? Who are they? Who's Ade and Eko?
Eko Leota is an edge rusher who's on the practice squad.
Yeah.
The other guy, I don't know.
Ade and Eko. It's a cartoon on Nickelodeon. Let's hear that again. It was just so incredible to hear that line dropped in the middle of all this.
Man, it's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just got here.
Ade and Eko are. I don't know who they are.
That's the problem. They're on their, what, sixth and seventh outside linebackers?
Does this threaten Jeremiah Moon? Are Ade and Eko in a timeshare like Pickens? Why didn't Bad Moon Rising? When Tomlin used the old Peyton Wilson, Elandon Roberts comparison on the Pickens snap management, why didn't he just say, you know what, George, we're going to have him in a snap management situation like Ade and Eko? It's going to be no different than that. What is happening here?
I don't know.
Limits. What?
I just cannot believe any of the... He's comparing Cam Hayward, 35-year-old Cam Hayward snap count to George Pickens.
Here's the thing. Pickens just played 59% of the snaps against the Cowboys, and the whole world saw it, which is why people are asking questions. It's okay. The ruse is up. Everybody knows you benched him. Everybody saw Tomlin's reaction on the sidelines to one of those plays where we used to have jogging George Hendrick around here. Now we have jogging George Pickens. He was jogging. Everybody saw it. Max Starks on the flagship station ripped him to shreds after the game. Okay? It's okay. Everybody saw it. It's not the end of the world. Why Tomlin didn't come out today and say, yeah, I know there's clips out there. We saw it too. We watched tape. We got to get better effort from George on some of his routes, and he will. I'm convinced he will. We'll sit down and talk to him. Instead, we're talking about Elandon Roberts and Peyton Wilson as a comparison. He played 59% of the snaps, by far the fewest of his career. Something was up. If they were running all over the Cowboys, like every other team does, but the Steelers couldn't, if they were just handing the ball off time after time and bludgeoning them, like so many other teams have done to the Cowboys, then I get it. George is watching from the sidelines. That was decidedly not the case. And, man, this is one of the strangest defenses of a player that I've seen from Tomlin, honestly, in all his time here.
Well, and the other thing that really fascinates me is you're comparing him to Cam Hayward, who's an every down, at least used to be, every down inside pass rusher, defensive lineman, who is in the trenches like over and over and over again. Are you going to take Broderick Jones out to limit his snap count a little bit?
And what you need to remember,
keep Zach Frazier fresh?
What you need to remember is Tomlin isn't talking to the media on Tuesday. He's talking to you, the fans. So if you want to say, oh, he's not going to give you guys anything, you know, he thinks you're stupid, and he's right. We hate the media. He's not talking to the media. This is a vehicle for him to address you, the fans. And you all saw it, too. Everybody's seen it. Pickens basically quit on his team in the middle of a game, needed to be babysat on the sidelines by guys again. And as I've said 100 times on this show today, and I'll say it one more time, with some of their, many, I should say, of their star receivers over the years, credit Tomlin for, first of all, helping in the drafting of these guys, the early development of these guys, but man, once they start to go bad, he is unable to bring them back. It just keeps going that way until in every single case, the Steelers wind up trading the guy. Usually smack in the middle of his prime. Go back to Santonio Holmes, Mr. Big Chest after him, Martavis Bryant, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, and now one could certainly make an argument that things have turned bad, at least a little bit, with George Pickens. History tells me this might not get better, and it's happening in the context of, do you want to throw him $80 million? Let's go to the lines here.
Let's start with George in North Carolina. He really wants to weigh in.
Hey, George.
Yeah, you're taking my steam off by talking about other stuff, and we got calls on the line. You can hang up on me now if you want to. I had some good stuff, but I mean, here's the thing. The press conference was worse than the game, in my opinion, because you got him throwing cover fire for George Pickens while you got 20 or 30 other guys in that locker room that are pissed off. So you're not helping them at all. You're pissing them off while you're trying to look out for one guy. And then when you're taking shots at the defense by saying they didn't get the turnovers in the right end of the field, or they didn't get the ball back quick enough, I mean, what are you saying? It was your perfect, stupid game plan. Get turnovers and get a drive late, and you still lost. So that means it's coaching. You're the problem, Tomlin, not the team. And everyone is starting to see it, except the national media, who doesn't watch the games, doesn't know that you're a problem because they don't pay attention. And the George Pickens thing is ridiculous. And the thing is, he should be pissed because you're doggone running an offense where you might as well be putting on first down. You bitch shoots Okafor for less. But you won't bench George Pickens for the game. And I'm not saying you should, but you basically cut your troops for less.
Well, here's something you touched on that I think is true. And I know I keep bringing up Max Starks, but I think it's a great example. Because here's a guy who I interviewed, talked to, and I think he's really sharp and on top of stuff. And he's young enough, George, to where I think that he still has connections in that locker room. He basically covers the team. So when you say, you know, there's guys ticked off in that locker room, I have to believe that. I have to believe that. I don't think that's an incredible, you know, leap of logic to think that there are the same guys who are babysitting George on the sidelines during games have just about had it with this guy. And when Stark says out loud on the flagship that this is a me guy and not a we guy, and some guys need to grow up faster than they are, and you all know who I'm talking about, you don't think that's resonating in the locker room as well? I have a hard time believing that.
Hey, here one more quick thing. He's pissed off about his production and running a piss-poor high school offense, but you don't think George Porter was thinking he should have gotten more playing time and he could have been complaining when they were playing Levi Wallace out there? You don't think Broderick Jones could have been complaining when they were playing Dan Moore or playing him out of position? Everyone has had legitimate – a lot of guys have had legitimate complaints. You don't think Justin Fields want to say, hey, man, if you let me throw the ball more than 9 times in the first half and stop babysitting me, you might find out you have a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So other guys have legitimate complaints about the way Tomlin depresses this whole team. I told my son last week, whatever Tomlin's quarterback is, you can take 7 points away. Basically, if you have – Patrick Mahomes averaging 30 points a game. If he comes here under Tomlin, he's going to average 23. Because Tomlin's driving his foot on the gas when it comes to offense and trying to win a game stupidly like it's the 1970s. And I'm about pissed off about it. And I've been a Tomlin guy.
Appreciate the call. I think a lot of people are in that camp. Like Mike Tomlin, nobody has ever argued reasonably that he's not a good coach. He obviously is a good coach and a really likable guy. Obviously a very sharp guy, a great representative for the city. The question has been now for a while, is this still a good match? Is this still a good match? Good coaches sometimes move on for a variety of reasons. I mean, it's a completely moot point. I think it was viable at the end of last year, but when they signed him to a new three-year extension, it's really his future isn't even a topic. He's here for life, for as long as he wants to be. But good coaches have moved on, and their franchises survive, and those coaches survive. Andy Reid, Mike McCarthy. I know they want more from McCarthy in Dallas, but he's won a couple playoff games lately. He's gone 12-4 three straight years. Things are okay back in Green Bay, too. I think they had a pretty good year last year. Next call.
Let's go to Mr. Old School in the car.
Hello, Mr. Old School.
What's going on, my man, Joe? Hey, Joe, here's my thing. First thing is, let's talk about Mr. Pickens, right? Tomlin is killing me. How are you going? They're going to ask you, oh, well, why can't he block? Well, he's not in position to do those things. He doesn't do that. Well, why is he not on the field? Oh, well, it's position productivity. Everybody can see that this clown got benched because of his attitude. And I don't know why Tomlin is not taking the same approach that the coach from L.A. did with Adams. He came out before he even benched Adams and trade talk started. Listen, there's some people on our team that's a me people, and they're in it for themselves. I'm letting them know I know who they are, and it's going to be addressed. That's what he said to the cameras. That's what you need to do. Stop prima donna these guys and let them know. The other thing is, when it comes to our offense, you asked me last week, give you a reason why Wilson should start. Well, the reason is, and it still is today, is because if you look at that game, Fields cannot go under center. Whenever he goes under center, everybody knows it's going to be a run because he can't turn his back and then come back around and find players. So the only time he did it last week was a bootleg out by him, and then the next time he did it, he tried to throw a pass, and it went who knows where, and it ended up out of bounds. They do not let it. They don't trust him under center. Wilson is good under center, and Tony Dungy on Sunday night said, I was at practice, and Russell Wilson's throws were looking amazing. This came from Tony Dungy on the show that evening. But yet you hear Tomlin telling me this guy is still injured from a calf strain when you got Sayamalu coming back from a partial.
Let me ask you, Mr. Old School, did this blocking sled come to life? Did the blocking sled turn into Lawrence Taylor and attack Russell Wilson? Does he have a broken fibula here? He has a calf strain. I think he's been healthy, at least healthy enough to play all year. Adam Schefter reported going into week one that Wilson told the coaches, I can play.
Joe, listen, you bring Sayamalu back with a partial tear in his shoulder,
right.
And you got this guy on the sideline. And Joe, what's going on with Wilson, the receiver? Where's he been? They got some guy named Brad Johnson catching passes last week. Where is Wilson, this third-round draft pick?
He's sitting at his house probably thinking, am I this bad? Why did they draft me? I can't get in this lineup. Imagine Devontae Adams watching the game the other night. Do you think he said to himself, man, I'd love to play in that Steeler offense. They'll really feature me. No, he's saying to himself, that's the last place on earth I want to go. Probably. Thank you, Mr. Old School. That guy is legendary. Is he not, Limits?
He's a classic caller. He's been calling in for years.
But hey, why are we talking about Pickens and the quarterbacks when we could be talking about the edge rushers coming in? I can't get enough of this quote dropped in the middle of the news conference.
Man, it's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just got here.
He just got here. Give him a name tag. Hello, welcome to the building.
Were they walking by the practice facility and somebody yelled out, hey, you want a job, Ade and Eko? Were they walking together? Had they been out to lunch over on the south side? Maybe a little bike ride? Ake and Eko. What are their names?
Man, it's a big day. Maybe for some edge rushers like Ade.
Ade?
Man, it's a big day. Maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just
Ade
got here.
Ade and Eko. All right.
K. Can I play you my favorite clip of the day from Tomlin?
Maybe they'll be in a timeshare like Pickens. Yes, let's hear the best clip
this
of the day.
This was Will Graves' question about Pickens. I knew you knew where this was going.
When the season started, you said you felt that George was absolutely going to handle all the adversity and attention that comes his way positively. Do you see, the face mask, he threw his helmet on the ground so hard it bounced over the bench at one point coming off the field. Is he handling this stuff positively?
Well, in those instances, no, but largely it's been an improvement in those areas, certainly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, that was bad, but right. Overall, there's nothing to see here. It's fine.
The throwing the helmet, the babysitting on the sidelines, the personal foul, the idiocy at the end of the game, the jogging on routes, certainly in those instances, it's been problematic. But everything else has been great.
You know what it reminds me of? It's that gif of the building being on fire and the guy standing in front of it. No, everything's okay. Nothing to see here. It's fine.
I mean, it's actually quite remarkable. Like I said, I wanted to just jump in on Tomlin and say, Mike, come on. This just stop. Just say he didn't give effort on a couple plays. And that worries me. Yeah, and I'm going to address it. And he'll be fine in Vegas. Really, we're going to go all the way to Peyton Wilson and Alandon Roberts and stop just short of Ike and Ekpo?
That could have put it to bed. Like, you could have said, yeah, I understand there are some concerns. We're handling it.
Yes.
George will be better. That's it. We're good.
Yes. All right. Let's finish this thing next. Do you think we could, if we get Ake on the show, do you think Ekpo would come on?
Man, it's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just got here.
Can you contact the Steelers to see if we can get either Ade or Eko with us tomorrow? Or are they a package deal? We could get them both.
I think both would be appropriate.
That is a problem, though, edge rusher, because the great Jeremiah Moon, who blocked himself on the final play. Have you seen tape of that yet?
No, I have not.
It's not good. What the hell happened on the final play? Cam Hayward wound up on his back on the goal line. Well, I don't understand. Did he think maybe to drop back?
And they double teamed the wrong receiver. They left Deshaun Elliott, who's been good, one-on-one.
Benton couldn't get by his guy. You know, a guy chipped TJ and then somebody else blocked TJ and Prescott rolled the other way smartly away from TJ. Jeremiah Moon blocked himself. Who knows? Maybe Ade or Ekpo this week will help them in that area. I don't know. Don't you have to send one extra guy after Prescott there?
Yes.
Don't
you bring the blitz?
Anything. I'm not saying blitz, you know, zero blitz here with 11 guys. Bring one more guy from somewhere. He's going to let him stand back there and take his pick. What are we doing here? I like Alex Kozora from Steelers Depot. I think he does a great job. But I have to disagree with him here, or at least take a different angle. You know, he's talking about how he agrees with Tomlin that it made some sense that there were personnel packages that Pickens just isn't in and that they used a lot of those that he's not in. Okay, so then I question the scheme, number one, but number two, that doesn't negate the jogging on routes. So I'm going to, again, go with Max Starks here. I don't think that came out of nowhere. Max Starks saying that this guy, you all know who I'm talking about, is more me than we, and he questioned his effort and his pouting and everything else. So I guess if you're talking specifically about why George didn't play as much, okay, then it's a terrible idea to not have him on the field. If it's simply scheme-related, it's a terrible idea to not have your best offensive player on the field on a night when not a lot else is getting done. Like I said earlier, if they were running all over the Cowboys, like everybody else does, then it's more understandable. Like, okay, we don't need George Pickens tonight. This is an easy game where we're just pounding them. But the issues are much larger than that. Does anybody think that would be a good idea moving forward if it's simply scheme-based to not have George on the field? It's insane. And I'm not saying that Alex thought it was a good idea either. He was just pointing it out and actually did some very good research here. But the issues are much bigger than this, and even that. If there's a certain approach they're going to take on game day that has Pickens off the field for more than 40% of the plays, again, unless they're pounding somebody to death in the run game, it's a terrible approach. And this coaching staff has gotten out-schemed badly, really badly, two games in a row. Shane Steichen has just killed Tomlin's defenses, killed them. In the last three games, he has something like 90 points and 1,000 yards of offense, well over 1,100 yards of offense. And I would say Mike McCarthy did the same thing. What did they get, 450? You know, and Tomlin wanted to paint this as an even, hard-fought game at the beginning. I hope behind closed doors, if they're taking a measured analysis of that game, they know they got horribly out-schemed and pounded on both sides of the ball. I hope they know that and have reacted appropriately to that. Man. All right, Limits. This has been a wonderful day. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's Cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. What's the bigger story here? The quarterbacks or Pickens today, in your humble opinion?
Well, I think quarterbacks have dominated the news cycle for the past month, so right now it's Pickens. Partly because it's fresh and it's something new to talk about, new to debate. But
isn't it also new that Russ is going to take Wednesday snaps in full health?
Yeah.
I still can't believe that blocking sled sprung to life and attacked him like that.
It came out of the closet and just completely ate him alive.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like the other thing about Wilson, though, is, yeah, Tomlin didn't sound too enthused about Wilson, meaning, like, yes, he's definitely adamant he's going to be the starter. He said he's going to get on the field needing back-to-back days to be healthy, and they don't want to disturb Justin Fields' first-team reps.
I mean, it seems like the big question now is, will Russell be the backup? And once we get that established, then we can talk about how quick of a hook Tomlin might have on Fields.
Well, that's the thing. If Wilson is the backup, then Tomlin is saying, without saying, that Fields is the starter.
Yeah, he pretty much said that. I mean, if he's going to start prep tomorrow, we don't want to interfere with Justin's reps, it sounds like that's the direction it's going.
But how long is the leash?
That's the question. Jerry Dulac wrote today, it's only a matter of time. I don't know. If they go out and put up 35 on Vegas and Fields is unbelievable, they just go back to Wilson? I don't think so. Or go to Wilson? And I don't think it's been a foregone conclusion all season that they would go to him either. If he had showed out the other night, like Mr. Big Chest predicted he would, there's zero chance that a healthy Russell Wilson would play in this game.
Right, I agree.
And that's why it was really a blown opportunity for Fields.
If they lose to the Raiders, he's gone.
He had a chance to leave no doubt, and instead he left a lot of doubt. So, for our purposes, we have plenty to talk about. Tomorrow, what do we have tomorrow, Limits?
We got
forget.
Kabali tomorrow.
Ah, the big boy.
Yes, we have the big boy. We have...
Fresh from the McAfee show, where he gives his best stuff, and then he comes on here and gives us absolutely nothing.
We have the general, and much more in store.
That sounds interesting.
We'll have a wheel of ball tomorrow.
A wheel of ball. We have a quiz show planned for Donnie Football on Friday about the Raiders and Steelers history. You ready for that?
I will be, yes.
True or false, the Raiders beat the Steelers in a playoff game the year after the Immaculate Reception?
It's true.
What was the score? Wrong. 33-14.